How many of you have heard me talk about the law of seed time and harvest? About seeds, about the principle of sowing and reaping. I've preached on that subject more than any other subject in the last 10 years. Because, we need to know, the law of seed time and harvest really answers a lot of questions about why things happen. Why they happen the way they happen. Well, examine the seed, and you can predict the harvest. Hallelujah. Amen. Every seed has within it the ability to reproduce itself. But every seed reproduces after its own kind. And if you don't like what you're getting, change what you're planting. Hello? A lot of times we think, we have this big disconnect in our brains between what we get out of life and what we put into life. Bible said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, God is not mocked. But whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's the law of seed time and harvest. That's God's rule for governing this earth, this natural realm. We get out of life what we put into it. And that includes money. It includes actions, acts of kindness, reap acts of kindness. If you want to have friends, you've got to show yourself friendly. Amen. There are people who don't have any friends, and they're wondering why they don't have any friends. Well, they're not a friend. If you were a friend, you would have friends. If you sow love, you're going to get love. If you sow hatred, you're going to get hatred. If you reject others, they're going to reject you. Amen. It's the law. Everybody say it's the law. It's God's law. God's irrefutable, unchangeable, unalterable law of sowing and reaping. And that's the absolute truth. Now, I've been preaching that and teaching that for my whole life. I've told you about one of the first books that really impressed me and impacted my life was Oral Roberts' book on seed faith. And everybody, just looks at Oral Roberts like he was the inventor of it. No, he wasn't the inventor of it. He just wrote a book about it. Jesus is the one who taught about seed faith. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, Jesus said that. Amen. And so the whole concept of reaping what you've sown has been since the very beginning of time. Your words are seeds. Your life itself is a seed. And whatever you do with it is going to be a prophetic word concerning what is to come. Your own words are prophecies of your future harvest. People like, the Word of Faith teachers, they write books like Hung by the Tongue. Yeah. You know, who wrote that, Hung by the Tongue? Charles Capps, Hung by the Tongue. And, that reveal the biblical truth that what you say is what you get. Your words are seeds, and if you speak those words with faith, they're going to produce, and that can go negative or positive. Amen. Well, I want you to look with me in Romans chapter 10, and we're going to see that the preached word, the proclaimed word of God, produces faith. Remember, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You got to have faith to please God. Everything you get from God, you get through faith. Faith is heaven's currency. Well, faith comes through the preached or proclaimed word of God. Not the written word. Faith doesn't come by the written word. Faith comes by the proclaimed word, by the preached word. And there's a huge difference. And if you'll get this message today, you'll be the biggest preacher in your life. You'll preach the Word of God to yourself. You see, I have something to say about the measure of faith that I'm operating on. If I don't like the amount of faith I have, I can increase my own faith by proclaiming God's Word to myself.
Yes, amen.
Amen. I've got two ears and one mouth. What do you think that's about? God wants me to hear the words that are coming out of my own mouth. And so if no one else will preach the Word to me, I can preach the Word to myself. How do you do that? Well, you open a Bible and you start reading out loud. That's the simplest way to start. Just open the Bible and start reading the Word of God out loud. Who's going to hear it? You are. You got two ears. Most of you. Amen. Use your own mouth to build your own faith. Quit waiting on Pastor Thomason to come up with something on a Sunday morning that'll build your faith. Build it all. Build it on Monday. Build it on Tuesday. Build it on Wednesday. Build it Thursday. Build it Friday. Build it Saturday. And when you come up here on Sunday, you're going to have such mountainous faith that we're going to have miracles and signs and wonders. Amen. There should not be a shortage of faith in the house of God. This is a house of faith. The reason it's a house of faith is because the Word of God is proclaimed. Not just from the pulpit, but we're preaching it to each other all the time. Amen. I can't tell you how many sermons Ruth preaches to me during the week. I mean, she's full of it. And then if she can't figure out what to say, she starts speaking in tongues until she comes up with something else to say. And I'm telling you, and then I'm preaching to her. I mean, you come to our house, you're going to hear the proclaimed Word of God. And if our voices are tired, we just put on some, you know, we'll turn somebody on YouTube, you know, and we'll listen to Jimmy Davis preaching the Word on Wednesday nights. You can get that on YouTube and subscribe. Y'all know who Jimmy Davis is. He preaches the Word. He preaches the Word. Amen. Nothing. I love to just sit back in my recliner and put Kenneth E. Hagin on. Well, I thought he was dead. I know. It's an amazing thing, though. I can watch him on my television. There's a YouTube channel. It's got nothing but Kenneth E. Hagin sermons, live videos of him preaching faith. Well, if you want faith, hear, listen to somebody preaching about faith. If you need to be healed, listen to somebody preaching about healing, like T.L. Osborne. There's videos and videos of T.L. Osborne giving testimony after testimony about healings that took place all over the world in his missionary evangelism crusades. I mean, if your faith level is low, it's your own cotton picking fault. Amen. If you don't have faith for something, get it. Go get it. Where do you get it? Preach it to yourself. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The first hearing is what you hear with your ears. The second hearing is understanding. Proverbs says, with all your getting, get wisdom and get understanding. You see, when you hear the Word of God proclaimed, it brings understanding. And that understanding is what causes faith to rise. Look in Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Very familiar passage of Scripture. He starts off by saying, but what saith it? Now that word saith is a very important word. What saith it? The Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the Word of faith which we preach. that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth. Everybody say, with the mouth. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now, we know this passage of Scripture by heart. I mean, that's preached a lot about, you know, this is the Apostle Paul's formula for getting saved. It starts with you hearing the word. Hearing the word from a preacher. He said, this saving faith, this faith that comes out of your own mouth in the form of a confession that results in your salvation, it has its beginnings in you hearing somebody preach the word. Amen. He said, the word that is nigh you and even in your mouth and in your heart is the word of faith which we preach. You see, before we heard somebody preach the gospel to us, we were empty-headed, empty-hearted, and lifeless. But when we heard the word preached, life came into us, light came upon us, understanding came into us, and we realized first we were sinners on our way to hell, and we also realized the answer was Jesus and his death on the cross and resurrection from the dead. And when we believed on that and we confessed that with our mouth, wow, guess what happened? We got born again. We were saved. This is how spiritual things happen. This is how things that are appropriated from God. Everything God has provided for us, we appropriate it through hearing about it, believing it, and confessing it with our own mouth. That's how faith works. Faith works on the power of God's word. Amen. Let me read Romans 10, 8 through 10 in the Amplified Bible. Chris is going to put it up here from the Amplified Bible. I like the Amplified Bible because it amplifies it, makes it bigger. But what does it say? The word, God's message in Christ is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word, the message, the basis and object of faith which we preach. You see, the faith to get saved was put in you by a preacher. Now, it doesn't have to be somebody from behind a pulpit. Anyone who's proclaiming the gospel to you is a gospel preacher. For me, the first person to ever preach the gospel to me was my mother. She was the first gospel preacher in my life. And she never, ever, ever stood behind a pulpit. But she stood at the foot of my bed many, many times preaching to me. Oh, yeah. And then my dad. My dad was Mr. Proverbs. He was Mr. Wisdom. And he would spout wisdom to us kids while we're sitting at the breakfast table. Me and my siblings, all five of us sitting around the table, eating the pancakes and the bacon and eggs that he had cooked. And while we're eating the breakfast that he had cooked for us, he's spouting words of wisdom over us. I'm telling you, he was Mr. Proverbs, my mama was Miss Gospel. And then my Sunday school teachers and all the people that God placed in my life to preach the word to me. Man, God bless every one of them. Thank God for every one of them. Because by the time I was a teenager, I was born again and baptized in the Holy Ghost and had already been called to preach the gospel. but it was a result of a lot of seeds that were being planted in me continually by the people around me. You see, the people around you can build your faith or they can tear it down. And the Bible's very clear, and my proverb spouting daddy would tell you that don't hang around people that drag you down. Don't hang around people that are going to kill your faith. The moment somebody begins to mock your faith, leave them. What does the Bible say? Bad company corrupts good manners. Amen. One rotten apple can spoil a whole bushel basket of apples. So what do? You dig down in there and find that stinking rotten apple and you get rid of it. And you save the whole bushel. Hallelujah. We need to start picking the bad apples out of our midst and shun them. Shame them, shun them, and if they don't repent, cast them out. Amen. Why? Because your faith in God is the most precious thing you have. So you don't tolerate and don't put up with people that are damaging your faith. I've changed doctors over that very principle. Ruth had a doctor. She was a lady doctor. She went to this lady doctor and the lady doctor, you know, was examining her, and Ruth had a complaint, and the lady doctor said, "Well, at your age, you know, you ought to just expect things because you're at the age where you're going to start falling apart." That was the last time Ruth went to that doctor. Ruth fired her. Flat out fired the doctor. She said, "I'm not going to have somebody speaking those kind of words over me." And yet we tolerate that kind of stuff all the time. People speaking words of doubt and words of sickness and words of death over us. And we'll even pay them good money to say it. Now, some of you need to fire your doctor. Go find one, you know, that's not quite so death-dispelling. Amen. I like my doctor, Dr. Heather Sharp. I chose her for her name. Knew nothing about her. I just said, I want a doctor whose name I can pronounce. You know, and I want it because I know that if I can pronounce their name, that I can probably understand what they're saying. Right? And then so I started searching the list of approved doctors, you know. And I saw Heather. Oh, my daughter's name is Heather. That just kind of made me feel good inside. And then it was Dr. Heather Sharp. And I said, "Oh, I want a sharp doctor." And so I wrote that name in. Then I made the appointment, went to see her for the first time. And she walked out and she didn't say one word about COVID. Hallelujah. Never even brought it up. Didn't say a single word about the shot and other shots. Didn't even ask me if I wanted a flu shot. I'm liking her more and more all the time. And then the last time I went in there, she walked in and she said, "Oh, there's my model patient. I'm just looking at your blood work and you are in excellent condition." I said, well, I'm a little overweight. She says, "Well, aren't we all?" She said, "All that matters is, are you happy?" I said, "I'm very happy." You know, and I'm going back to see her again this year. I like Dr. Sharp. She doesn't make me feel bad about myself. But you know, some of these doctors, you go to see them, they got you in the grave already. I mean, all they are is pill pushers, drug dealers. They might as well be standing on the street corner with a bag of pills. That's all they know to do, give you another pill, give you another prescription. "Oh, let's see what we can find out's wrong with you today." It's like, "Ooh, boy, here comes Got insurance? Oh, goody, 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 goody. And you guys that got that military insurance, you know, where they can, where they pay for everything, they love to give you every test in their book. Because they get paid for it. Amen. If your insurance company will pay for it, they will order it up. Whether you need it or not. Yeah. Hey, I found out your insurance company will pay for a kidney transplant. Let's get you a new kidney. What are they doing? They're not speaking words that build your faith. You need to fire them. There are doctors out there like Heather Sharp. Amen. There are some good doctors out there. And do your due diligence and find somebody that's not going to put you in an early grave. Because words are powerful. And doctors' words are, it's like they're compounded in their power. When a doctor says you've got something, man, you start planning your funeral. Anybody else say that anything like that, and you'd argue with them, disagree with them. If the pastor said, yea, thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, in 30 days you're going to be dead, you wouldn't believe it. But if a doctor said it, you'd be, calling the funeral home. People put more faith in their doctors than they do their pastors. Something's wrong with that. Something's wrong with that. Don't let that be the case with you. It sounds like I'm rambling, and I probably am. Okay. Look with me in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. We're going to read this from the Passion Translation. I like it because it's passionate. See, the Word of God, if the Word of God doesn't stir your passion, then it's not being read right. Come on. The true Word of God should stir your passion. Because faith is a passion that moves you to action. Amen? If your faith doesn't move you, then it's not from God. Because faith from God will move you. Faith from God will move you to action. Amen. It will. 1 John 4, verse 4 says, you can be certain that you belong to God and have conquered them. Who's them? The Antichrists. All the spirits of Antichrist. All of the demonic forces in the world. You have something within you that conquers them all. Now think about it. That's what John's saying. You can be certain that you belong to God and have conquered them, for the one who is living in you is far greater than the one who is in the world. You have something in you. You have someone in you that enables you to conquer all of the antichrists that are in the world. So the faith that is in you is strong enough to overcome anything that the world brings. Amen. We've said it many times, one word from God. One word from God can change everything. One word from God is stronger than any of the words of the enemy. Amen. I think about the times in the Bible where God gives one word, or just a couple of words, like with Moses there at the Red Sea. Moses says to God, God, what are we going to do? God said, go forward. That's all he needed, was that word from God, and they were able to march through the Red Sea on dry ground. I mean, you think about it. What about Brother Peter when he's in the boat and they see Jesus coming, walking on the water? First of all, they're all freaked out. They think it's a ghost. And then when they recognize that it's Jesus, Peter says, Lord, bid me come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. One word. Come. And Peter stepped out of the boat and walked on the water. I want to tell you what, you can criticize him for sinking later, but Jesus rescued him, picked him up, and together they walked back and got into the boat. So Peter walked on the water twice. He walked out to Jesus and he walked back to the boat. Amen. On one word that came out of Jesus' mouth. Come. One word can defy gravity. One word can put on hold the laws of physics. One word from God is powerful. More powerful than nature. More powerful than physics. More powerful than the laws of the natural realm. One word. And what about the man who had the legion of demons? Remember that man? It's really the continuation of this same story where Peter walked on the water. They come to the other side of the sea, and there's a man, a demonized man who had a legion of demons in him, and a legion it was up to 2,000, at least 2,000. He had 2,000 demons in him. See, demons aren't all that much. Demons are like germs. They're small, microscopic. You can't see them with the naked eye. But one of them can make you real sick. You know what I'm saying? They're like a little germ, a little virus. This guy had 2,000 demons in him that had driven him insane. They couldn't contain him. They couldn't chain him. They couldn't rope him. He would tear his clothes off and run naked and terrorize all the children in the village. Had everybody in the whole area terrified. He comes and falls at Jesus' feet and worships Jesus. All the demons that were in him could not keep him from going to Jesus. I'm telling you what, folks, demons are not as powerful as we give them credit for. They couldn't hold him back. He went and worshiped Jesus. And Jesus began to cast those demons out, and they said, "Just send us into the pigs. Send us into that herd of swine." And Jesus said, "Go." One word. One word drove 2,000 demons out of that man. And in an instant of time, he was in his right mind. Jesus said, "Put some clothes on this boy. He's cold." Amen. One word. And that's what I'm talking about, people. God's word is powerful when it's uttered, when it's spoken, when it comes out of your mouth or anybody else's mouth. The word of God carries with it the power to perform whatever it's talking about. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 said that when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, "Believe you that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." What happened here? These men came to Jesus crying out, "Son of David, have mercy on us." Their mouth, their confession, their cry was a cry of faith. And they followed him into the house, and Jesus says, Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" They said, "Yes." Jesus says, "Well, on your faith then, so be it unto you." And they were healed of their blindness. You see, the faith that was in them was strong enough to heal them. Jesus said, "It's your faith." How many times in the Bible did Jesus tell someone, "Thy faith has made you whole"? "According to your faith, so be it unto you." Well, how does that faith get in you? Somewhere along the way, you heard the proclamation of God's word. Amen? And it became the potential that lies within you. What are you capable of? Well, what have you been listening to? What can your faith do? Well, what you've been listening to, what kind of understanding has it brought you to? Do you understand that by His stripes you are healed? Do you understand that? How many of you understand that with His stripes we are healed? Then you have within you the potential to be healed. You just need to get it in your confession. Don't forget Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, believe in your heart, and confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. So if you have within you, if you have already within you the potential to be healed because you believe and understand that by His stripes you are healed, then all that's left for you to do is utter it, confess it, believe it and confess it. Amen. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how sick you are either. Doesn't matter if it's stage 1 or stage 4. Doesn't matter if you're dead or not. What matters is, what are you willing to confess that you believe? Because the potential lieth within you. Think about all the sermons you've heard. I'm just thinking about some of the great messages that you've heard me preach. Yeah. You say, Pastor, you're kind of prideful talking about what great messages you preach. I preach the Bible. I preach the Word. It's not me making it great. It's the fact that it's the Word that makes it great. Amen? Me preaching it to you is just a bonus. You get to hear my style and get to laugh once in a while and get entertained a little bit. But I don't care if all I ever did for the last 30 years was stand up here and read verse after verse after verse. If that's all I ever did was just read it in an anointed way, you would have the potential for everything that you've heard to come to pass in your life. And I'm telling you, you have got the potential in you right now for every promise in the book to be yours. Amen. Look in Luke chapter 17, verse 5. Now remember, Jesus used what was already in those blind men to heal them. Didn't He? He used what was in them. He said, according to your faith. And if you'll notice, many of the miracles that Jesus performed had less to do with His faith and more to do with their faith. We know Jesus had absolute faith. Luke 17, verse 5, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord says, if you had faith, If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. They're saying, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus is saying, if you have any faith at all, this is how powerful it is. They want more. Oh, God, we want more faith. And Jesus is saying, use the faith you've got. It's enough. That's right. How many of you ever seen a mustard seed? How many of you had to see it under magnification? Remember these little necklaces they used to pass out in Sunday school? You know, it was a little magnification, and it had a little mustard seed in it. And if you didn't have that magnifier, you wouldn't be able to see that seed. It's a tiny seed. Bible says it's the least of all seeds. Very tiny. Oh, it's also one of the few seeds that you cannot crossbreed and make a hybrid out of.
That's right.
It's a pure seed. Yeah. And Jesus said, if you just got one tiny little grain of faith, you can say to this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the roots and cast into the sea, and it will obey you. Now, people, that's powerful stuff. And I didn't say that. The Apostle Paul didn't say that. Peter didn't say that. It was Jesus who said that. Jesus said, here's the potential you have. Here's the power you have. If you've got faith as a tiny grain of mustard seed, you've got mountain moving faith. You got tree plucking up faith. Mm. That is the potential that lies within you right now. Because I'll guarantee you, because you go to this church, if for no other reason, because you go to this church, you got more than a grain of faith. You come on Wednesday nights and just sit here for an hour, listen to Jimmy quote scripture and read scriptures, yeah. And you're going to walk away here more than just a grain of mustard seed.
Sure.
You're going to walk out of here with an hour's worth of packing it in. He packs it. Jimmy packs it in. And he adds his personality and all that, but I'm telling you what, strip away the personality, strip away the style, strip away all the little antics and things that we do as preachers. Just get down to the brass tacks of the Word of God. You've got the potential to blow up Mount St. Helens. It's in you right now. It's in you right now. You got to have some faith in it. Amen. Hallelujah. Instead of being like the disciples, Lord, give us more. We need to be like, Lord, help me to use what I got. Amen. And the intimidator comes along and tries to get you to not say, you know, shut your mouth and don't say anything. Well, that's the whole problem. The church has been muffled. The church has been silenced. The church has been told to shut up. Well, hey, don't tell me to shut up. I'll just get louder. I'm like blind Bartimaeus, who ain't blind no more. They told him to hush. They told him to shut up. They told him, don't bother the master. And the Bible says he cried out even the more. That's our problem. We're too quickly silenced. We're worried about what somebody might think about us. Well, they all think we're crazy anyway, so let them think it. They all think we're weirdos. Be like my Uncle Herschel Rogers. He was Master Sergeant in the U.S. Army, and he was the camp cook in Fort Polk, Louisiana, when the World War II broke out. He was a good cook, too. Everybody loved his food. And every day after he had finished his chores in the mess kitchen, and everybody was fed and all the dishes were clean and put up, he would go for a walk in the woods. And while he was out there, he'd talk to the Lord out loud.
Amen.
Well, one day the camp psychiatrist followed him out into the woods. This is a true story. Followed him out into the woods and hid behind a tree and watched what went on. And he heard my Uncle Herschel talking out loud in a conversational tone and listening and then talking some more. And so he called them into the office and he said, I followed you out into the woods. He said, yeah, I go out there every day and talk to God. Oh, you're talking to God. He said, well, a lot of people find comfort in praying. And he said, most people I know don't pray out loud. And he said, well, I'm not ashamed.
Amen.
Uncle Herschel said, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to talk to God out loud.
Thank you. Thank you.
And the camp psychiatrist says, well, you know, there are a lot of people that do that. I guess there's nothing wrong with that as long as you don't hear God talking back to you. He said, oh, yeah. He talks back to me. We carry on conversations. Well, they took my Uncle Herschel to Colorado and put him in an insane asylum for the duration of World War II. He never saw his family. The family, he was married and had small children, and they never allowed his family to come see him. He was in that insane asylum until the end of the war. And the inmates discovered he could cook. And so they made him the cook over the insane asylum. And the inmates loved him, and he preached to them. Many of them got cured of their insanities, and many of them got healed in their body of sicknesses and diseases because he was a believer. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Amen. And so when the war ended, he was still in the insane asylum, and so the inmates got together and petitioned the administration to let him go because they said he's more sane than anybody here. So they call him in and they say, now, Mr. Rogers, do you still talk to God? And he says, yes, sir, I do. Do you still talk to God out loud? Yes, sir, I do. He says, does God talk back to you? And he says, yes, sir, he does. They said, well, we think you're sane enough to get, you know, to mingle in society, but we are going to give you a benefits package. You know, we're going to give you disability. And so you're going to be getting $93 a month, from the government because of your disability. He said, no, I'm not disabled. I don't want your money. And they said, no, and so they started sending him these checks every month. And he would just send them back to them. And they would send them back to him. And he'd send them back to them. And then finally he started cashing them. And then about 3 years later, he filed a petition to the government for a new hearing because he felt bad about taking the government's money. Now, ain't that something? Somebody who actually feels bad about taking the government's money. And so he went before this hearing, and they said, Mr. Rogers, do you still talk to God? He said, yes. Do you still talk to God out loud? Yes. He said, does God still talk to you? He said, yes. They said, well, we're going to increase your disability. By the time he died, some 60 years later, his disability check was nearly $5,000 a month. He took that money and built churches with it. He didn't live off that money. He took that money and built churches with it. Planted churches all over Arkansas and eastern Oklahoma and southern Missouri and preached the word. He was also Sam Walton's personal finished carpenter. He and Sam Walton built houses and apartment complexes and rental properties up until Sam Walton died. He was his personal finished carpenter. He didn't use that money to live off. He used that money to build churches. Say, why am I telling you that? Here's a man who was not intimidated and was not afraid to talk to God out loud. Now, I know many of you pray out loud, and you're not bothered by that, but see, speaking and proclaiming God's word is the next step. You talk to God out loud. God talks to you. You take what God said to you, and you proclaim that out loud to your circumstances. And that word from God becomes a prophetic word that's coming out of your mouth. Amen. It's not good enough just to pray and talk to God. You understand what I'm saying? Take what God has said to you and get it in your mouth and in your verbal language and begin to speak forth the words of God. Amen. That You will hear that. That will increase your faith. People around you will hear that. It will build their faith. And when they see these things coming to pass that they've heard coming out of your mouth, they're going to have a whole lot more appreciation for what you say.
Amen.
And it's time people begin to take us seriously and listen to what we say. Ruth had a situation in her family. No, it wasn't her family. It was one of our neighbors, friends. And this friend of Ruth's was attacking Ruth on Facebook. I mean, just attacking her, being real tacky. And Ruth is kind of getting upset about it because, I mean, it's one thing to have someone have a disagreement with you, you know, in private, but when they start doing it on Facebook, it gets personal. She said, "What are we going to do about this?" And I said, "Just a minute." I said, "Lord, I ask you right now to put your foot right in the middle of this thing." That's all I said. Ruth is sitting across the room, and she gets this stunned look on her face like, "Whoa, that was anointed." Before the day was even over, God had put his foot right in the middle of that thing, and that woman had taken all of her comments off of her Facebook page and was directly corresponding with Ruth in a very nice and loving and, "Oh, you're my friend, and we're going to..." I mean, her whole tone had changed. All that had happened was I opened my mouth and made a declaration.
That's good. Wow.
Y'all remember when John and Ann Brown were with us?
Yeah.
And John and Ann Brown, you know, they arrived in bad condition. She was sick. She was real sick. So sick that we had to cancel that little seminar we were going to have. Because she couldn't even get out of bed that day. And, I mean, she was sick. And they had lost their passport. They'd lost their wallet. They left it in a hotel room in Idaho. Their car had blown up, and they'd had to borrow money and buy a car just to get from Idaho to Florida. And, you know, and so they were really sweating all of that. And they were besieged.
Oh, yeah.
And so I said, "Well, let's pray." So we began to pray. And when we're praying, you know, here's how I usually pray for people. I ask them, "What do you want me to ask God for?" Because I want to pray in agreement with them. And so they wanted to recover their passport, their wallet, their credit cards, and their visas, and they wanted and she wanted to be healed in her body. So we prayed for that. And of course, when we pray according to the Word. "By His stripes you're healed." You know, "Lord, you're the God who recovers everything. Please recover those passports. Recover that wallet. Recover that cash." We said, "Amen." Within an hour, they got a phone call from the hotel in Idaho saying they had found her stuff in the hotel room and it was locked safely away in their safe. "Where do you want us to send it?" And within hours, she was up on her feet and able to come, and they came to church. We let them sit in a couple of chairs up here, but they were able to come and endure and minister the whole service. Before they left town, about a week later, she was in perfect health. So much so that after they got back to the Philippines, she had a little flare-up of that same thing. She got sick. And she had John FaceTime us, call us from the Philippines, and she says, I remember the last time you prayed for me, what God did, and I thought, I can't think of anybody we need to call on except Pastor Thomason to pray for us today. And so we prayed right there on FaceTime, and God touched her, healed her body, and she was, you know, able. I don't think she's had that problem since. Now, I thought, wow, that's wonderful. It made me feel so good that she would have that kind of confidence in my prayers. I just wish the rest of this church would have that kind of confidence in my prayers. That you, when you get sick, you call. When you go to the hospital, you let me know. Because when I pray, I want to tell you something, folks. When I pray prayers of faith. And God hears. And there should be no sick people in Cornerstone Church. Say, Pastor, you're just bragging on your own faith. No, I'm bragging on the faith that is in me by the impartation of His Word. It's not me, it's the faith, which I have made my faith. So it is my faith. But my faith is the faith. Amen. Oh, by the way, I remember a little gathering over here on the this corner of the room where the women of the church laid hands on Ann Wood and prayed over her prayers of faith. So it might not have been just my faith. It might have been y'all's faith. But it's still the same faith. It's the faith that we have appropriated from the words of God that have been proclaimed in our midst. That's what I'm saying, folks. There's potential here. So it's time for us to step it up. Look with me in Luke 8:22. This will be my last scripture, maybe. Amen. I'll try. It's the last one in my notes. Luke 8:22. Now, everybody say now. Now. It came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. Underline that. Jesus said, let us go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. Notice it says they were in jeopardy. This wasn't something they just felt like. It was the facts. They were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. One of the Gospels says, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Now what Jesus is implying here is what they were marveling over about Jesus and his authority over the wind and waves was a condition that existed within them if they just used the faith they had. He said, where is your faith? Why did you have to disturb my nap? Jesus was saying to these people, their faith could have done exactly what his faith did. But they had no confidence in their own faith. He was actually calling on his disciples to step up and take some responsibility for using their own faith. They didn't get it. They didn't get it till much later. Amen? But they had within them, because of who they were hanging around, because of the one they were listening to teach, because of the example that was set before them, they had within themselves the potential to still that storm. So much so that Jesus asked him, why didn't you do it? Why didn't you do it? There's going to be a lot of things we're going to find out about when we get to heaven. And we're going to discover that we had authority and we had power way beyond what we ever used. And we're going to be asked this question, why didn't you use your faith? Because where faith is concerned, this is a room of millionaires.
Amen.
If faith was currency, we would be billionaires in terms of faith. It's not what we have, it's what we use. And we need to start tapping into that vast resource and power that is our faith and begin to proclaim and prophesy and make declarations and demand certain things.
Amen.
Amen. Ask the Lord to put his foot in it. Because he will. Amen. Praise God.